Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Learned from what happened. Moved on. Talked about the real good things we did even on the road trip and how we found ways to play. And even in tight games. Used some of those examples from the LA game to even the Ranger game where we built a lead in that game and how you just have to maintain. And then just moved on. Today was about Winnipeg.
Jets represent game two of this five-game homestand for the Sabres. Welcome into Sabres Live. It's black, it's red, it's white, with snow all around as we get set for tonight's encounter with Winnipeg.
It looks great. I want to say this. It looks awesome. Although when I was up at 3:30 in the morning to take my daughter to the train station for a class trip, and then I realized, well, I should probably just go with Plowmaster 43 and do some plowing. I got the early shift. And I felt like the community of people in their trucks plowing really support one another.
It really is quite a community.
At 4 a.m., that's what happens. And it was great. It was beautiful. But I had to do it again at 7:30 this morning. That was a little much. So I'm happy to be here and out of the snow, but it's beautiful outside right now.
Thank you for your service.
You're very welcome, but I feel like my little service is nothing compared to those that are doing it full-time all the time. So yes. To those in the trucks right now still cleaning up, stay safe and be careful.
I was going to say, did Razor ask you for an increase in alumni dues this year? Because when I drove into the arena this morning, the most pristine place around the property was Alumni Plaza.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I guess we know where the plows go first.
Should be the official plow master of the Alumni Plaza, but no, I leave it to the professionals.
Is that the only way you're getting up on the mural?
One day, maybe. One day.
Sorry. But, sorry. That was harsh, even for the holiday season.
That
gosh.
You know what? There's a lot of great Sabres not out there. And really,
that's a very good way to look at it.
And I'm not saying I was a great Sabre. Not at all. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people that have had good careers, that have made an impact in the community, that are not out there, and that's fine. They just had to pick, like, a few.
Okay, snow and plowing aside, the game tonight does not feature Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes.
The coach wouldn't go so far as to label him day-to-day because he added, you never know. And that's the reality when you're dealing with back spasms.
Yes.
So the hope is it's short-term. The reality is Dennis Gilbert is in tonight. Ryan Johnson has been called up after the Amerks won last night against Utica, and now they're off to Charlotte for the weekend. So you look at I think it is obviously the main question, and it affects pretty much all situations for the Sabres. How do they adapt without Rasmus Dahlin in the short term?
Well, it's never good when you don't have a guy like Rasmus Dahlin in the lineup, right? And obviously, he's one of the premier defensemen.
Before you go too far, I'm going to say the Kings have done really well without Drew Doughty this year.
Yes, but my point is it's never good, but if there was a game where you can say, okay, it's not about one individual, it's about how we are going to play as a team, it's today after the game against Colorado and the video and what Lindy Ruff talked about is we addressed what we needed to address. We saw the clips that weren't good. We know how we need to play. We went back and look at stuff that happened on the road trip and how well we were in certain situations. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at, okay, well, this game against Winnipeg, you want Rasmus Dahlin in the lineup, but if he's not going to be there, it's going to be about, are you managing the puck or are you giving the puck away, too many turnovers? Like Rasmus Dahlin, one person is not going to change the game if you have 16 giveaways in the game, 7 straight in the third period when it's 4-4 and you're hoping to win a game. Like that's not going to change. And the Sabres went 4-1 without Tage Thompson. Mm-hmm. It's not like they can't have success without a certain player. It's obviously, you don't want to see Dahlin out of the lineup, but if there was a game that you could say, okay, like let's minimize the impact of losing Dahlin, it's the game after Colorado and the way that ended.
Am I looking at it the wrong way, or maybe just when you look across the league, this is how the Sabres are built. They still have a first overall pick on the blue line in Owen Power. They have the, because they just played Colorado, the much talked about this week, Bo Byram.
Yep.
And we've been talking about how it is such a strength, potentially this year, to have three guys that can really carry the mail offensively from the back line to help push these forwards along. Wouldn't most teams feel like they're in an advantageous position to have Power and Byram to lean on in the absence of Rasmus Dahlin?
Well, I get that Dahlin has 6 goals and 19 points in 25 games. That's fantastic. But Byram has 15 points and Power has 15 points. Mm-hmm. Like, who can say out there, say, yeah, we got a couple guys that have 15 points. We're good. Like, you got three defensemen.
And it's not just points. And maybe that's
the impact in the game.
That's
too,
the
yes.
thing, right? And this is not on 25 and it's not on 4 because it's collective. It always is the way a game went against Colorado.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for inspired play, the defense corps is what's going to try to be stronger than what they were the other night. And I really am actually excited to see how Power and Byram as leaders of this group now in the short term, hopefully without Dahlin.
I'm also
how they take this on.
I'm also excited to see Bo Byram getting some power play opportunity. I've been kind of calling for that a little bit here on Sabres Live, saying, you know what? I'd like to see Byram getting some power play time. Now, it comes with the no Rasmus Dahlin, so Owen Power is going to be on the first power play unit, quarterbacking that from the blue line, and Bo Byram is going to be on the second unit. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, don't want to see the power play struggle, but if the power play doesn't get a good show in the first or two, power plays they get, to say, okay, Byram, you go on the top unit, and then we'll bring Power back to the second unit, and we'll work things around. So that to me is a big change. The other change too, and look, that's on the back end. We all know that up front, the Sabres, I've had guys in and out of the lineup. There's injuries. Jordan Greenway, so I'm skating after practice today. He looked really good. They were being pushed. Matthias Samuelsson, looking good, was being pushed. Ryan Johnson was there, just called up. So it tells me that, Greenway and Samuelsson are not playing. Ryan Johnson's not playing because he was doing the back skate. But there was one more player there, and that was Jack Quinn. Jack Quinn was doing the back skate. Jack Quinn was, one of the extra doing extra. Excuse me, wrong pipe.
Oh, no.
It's the hot chocolate this morning. So Jack Quinn was out there doing extra work.
Yeah.
So, usually what that tells you is that Jack Quinn is not going to be in the lineup. Now, Lindyruff says we're still thinking about lineup changes. I get that. Like, they're going to mull it over. But my expectation is Tyson Kozak is probably going to get his first NHL game when you look at the numbers and who you have available.
And they didn't run traditional line combinations this morning so as to, lead us down the path of if Kozak is in, and based on all the different combinations we've seen the last few games, either pregame or in-game tweaking, how would you envision the lines being rolled out if Kozak is playing his first game?
Okay, well, I think what I would see is probably Zucker, Thompson, and Tuck staying together probably for the start of the game, and then maybe some adjustment in games. I think your top two lines are probably going to stay close to the same, and you probably just insert Kozak into Jack Quinn's spot. Because I think Lindyruff really likes Krebs, Malenstein, and Obi Kubel together. They did score a goal. They had a good impact. We actually discussed yesterday using them more in the third period.
It might be, and there are frustrations that come from the last game.
Yeah.
The saddest reality for me is that brilliant Malenstein goal ends up being the last super positive moment in the game. I'm like, holy cow, that was awesome to see. Not only the pass from Obey Kubel, but just the poise and the finish and the celebration, because we know depth lines don't often get those glorious moments, especially, you get jam plays and all the rest of it, and goals are goals.
Deflection off your pants.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful goal. And skilled. I was like, holy cow, didn't see that coming.
But I don't know that we can call him the fourth line, because I think Lindy Ruff has so much trust in them. And now if you insert Tyson Kozak, first NHL game, maybe he doesn't see as much ice time as Jack Quinn would in that situation. Maybe now you're saying, okay, the matchup calls for... Listen, Winnipeg has one of the best third line in hockey, one of the best depth line in hockey with Lowry, Niederreiter, and Appleton. Like, that line starts games. That line sets the tone, sets the energy. Well, who are you going to play against that line?
Right.
I would say, okay, get Krebs, Mellenstein, and Obi Kubel out there against that line. Physical, like speed. Like, that's, I think that's where the matchup is going to be with Lindy Ruff. So that line, the Krebs line, I would keep together, and I would play them 15 minutes, 16 minutes in the game for sure.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen named to Finland's roster for the Four Nations yesterday. Connor Hellebuck, of course, on Team USA. And they're the expected netminders tonight. And we're calling on all female hockey fans. The Sabres are thrilled to introduce the Saberhood Sisterhood. It's an event series designed to connect women through the game of hockey. And the first event will be a Sabres wreath-making workshop at the Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens on Saturday, December 14th. That's a week from this Saturday. Visit sabres.com/sisterhood to sign up today. With James Reimer, as we get set for the Sabres and the Jets tonight on this snowy Buffalo day, welcome in. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Enjoying the weather.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, it's been an interesting year
for you. Well, you had some sun in Anaheim, and now you got snow in Buffalo.
Yeah. I've had enough sun. You know, I need the snow. So.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, because it had to be a little bit of a kind of unusual start to the season. You're here. And you get to Anaheim, you play a couple of games, then you come back here. Like, how did you handle all of it? How did the family and everybody around handle it as well?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for yourself, sometimes you're so busy, you're just you're focused on different on just staying ready and preparing and whatnot, right? I think it's probably harder on the family, you know. I think because we started in Prague, so you're gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I came home for like 36 hours, and I'm back on the other coast, so you know, I think it was harder on the family and the kiddos and whatnot. But for me, you know, you're just, you know, it kind of doesn't, you take the old adage, it really doesn't matter where you are, you're just trying to focus on what you need to do to be, you're ready and prepared and whatnot. So, you know, you can kind of just, you know, take it like that. And then, you know, some of those other things, you know,
don't
bother
you too
much.
You used to like Aaron Miles back in the days, but now you can't anymore because it's all charter.
I think I have the most Aaron Miles of any NHL player this year so far. So
that's good.
I love it.
I got the trophy.
Where's home base for the family then, when aside from all this in-season chaos?
Yeah, we live out in the Okanagan in BC. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to get out there early in my career, and so we've kind of always been going back.
That's really cool. Now, something that I had to adjust to later in my career is, well, you know, the role that you're in, but also I always thought, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be a veteran, I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to talk to everybody, I'm going to be big woo-rah-rah. Then I realized, you know what, you can't just adjust from one thing to the other. And as goalies, sometimes we're more quiet in the locker room. How has that adjustment been for you over maybe the last couple of years of saying, okay, how, what's my place, what's my role, and how do I handle that role inside the locker room?
Yeah, like what's your identity? What's your role in the team? Yeah, I think it kind of changes a little bit over time, and you know, you just have to find a way to help the team. And I think for myself, I mean, obviously the main thing, as we all know, is when you get in there, you have to stop the puck.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good of a guy you are, if you can't stop the puck, then that really doesn't matter, right? But you know, I think as you get older and whatnot, I think you see the game differently, and you see the pressure, and then you see the young guys, and you see how they're reacting to it, and you're remembering how you felt when you were in that situation. And so I think, you know, I try and I talk as much as I can and help out on the bench and whatnot, but I think over the last couple of years, sometimes it's just taking some of the young guys aside and just one-on-one and just seeing where they're at and how they're doing and just trying to help them out on a more of a one-to-one basis, you know, and just try and, you know, because I think this game can be really overwhelming. You know, it's your dream. You're here, and it's just like it's everything you want, and sometimes not you're going your way, and you can feel it slipping. And you know, the worst thing you can do is get in your own way because, you know, all these guys have the ability to be here. That's why they're here. And so you just try and, you know, get them to breathe.
So what's the challenge and what's the role? What are the conversations like on the heels of the last game, which was a tough one, obviously, with a 4-0 lead. I mean, so, you know, where did you get to as a group yesterday and today and in readiness for the Jets tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I'll try not to give away all our secrets. you know, I think what's really important, and Lindy did a great job. You know, we had a good chat as a team and whatnot, you know. No surprise there, and he spoke very well, and really got our minds back into it, and you know, I think we looked at some things that we're not doing well, that we were capable of doing well, and then just you know, focusing on being able to do that for a whole game. And so you know, honestly, I don't think there is really, as far as X's and O's, you know, anything shattering, but it's just the tone, and you know, there's you know, there's an, again, cliches, there's an, in, you need to play with a certain intensity, but not, you know, intensity.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that makes sense. I mean, you know, Connor Hellebuck's a pretty good goaltender, and, you know, you face some of those guys. You've actually been, you know, in the league a long time, so you've seen some of the best, right? Do you, the offense had kind of gone away from a little bit, and then obviously last game it came back in the first period. Do you try to have that conversation with guys about the other team's goaltender, or even with assistant coach, goalie coach Mike Bills, about what your experience has been against other goalies to lead them maybe to have an easier way to produce?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you've played as long as I have, you get to see a lot of goalies, and you get to see a lot of tendencies and whatnot. So there's certain guys that you look at and you can see, oh, there's certain weaknesses here or there. And I mean, every, you know, not to be politically correct, but I mean, every goalie's good at this level, right? But it's like
everybody's weak on the low blocker side. Like, that's the old adage, right? Exactly. And then you try to shoot there all game, and you're like, oh, that didn't go in, so maybe there's something else.
Yeah, exactly. I know. They hate traffic. And
my gosh. Get in his face. They hate traffic. Yeah, everybody hates traffic.
Rebounds, put it up.
That is so true. That's on the scouting report every goalie.
Yeah, he hates traffic. So, no, so yeah, I know you every once in a while, obviously there's some guys, I mean, hell, he's a heck of a goalie, and you don't have a lot of weaknesses to his game, but every once in a while when you see something, you know, you can pull, you know, one of your guys on your team that, you know, will generally get more chances, and you can kind of whisper something in his ear, and sometimes it works, and sometimes he comes back to the bench and gives you the dirty look.
So. I tell this story all the time, but J.P. Dumont knew Roberto Luongo from playing juniors with him. Every game we played Florida, he'd always say, 5-0 is his weakness. And then Luongo would have a 41-save shutout, and all we tried to do was go 5-0 and could never beat him. So, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
so if you were to explain a rule to a casual fan, how would you describe what is goaltender interference?
Goaltender interference is as much interference as you can get away with and as many times as possible, and how the ref deems it not goaltender interference.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we had one the other day, and listen, I know that as a goalie, we're the smartest on the ice, but what Joey DeCord,
yep,
right? Joey DeCord did the other day when he saw the rush come in against Carolina, and he engaged in the contact, lost his way, Drury scores, and they challenged and reviewed it, and they waved it off. And I'm like, wait a second, time out here. The goalie engaged in the contact, but because it was just at the edge of the crease, they waved it off. I'm like, okay, now we've seen it all. I've seen where calls should have been made, and now I've seen where goalies get away with it. Are you conscious of the crease and where players are at during the game?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, maybe I'm jaded with my 15 years, but yeah, you're conscious of where the crease is, and I honestly do think that they've done a little better job this year of protecting the goalies in our eyes.
Yeah.
I think they've I'm minute, but you know, anytime I feel contact, it's just like you have to keep playing, even if you get interfered with. Like, it's just like, chances are it's not going to be goaltender interference. So
yeah,
you know, I might as well just battle and compete and try and make a save, because you know, I feel like 90% of the time the call's not going to go your way.
By the way, is your left shoulder good from that windmill save? Because I thought you popped it out of the socket after catching it. So are you all good
after
that?
Yeah, we're good. They popped it back in between the second and third.
Yeah, you did like, who's it, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon when he slams his shoulder against the wall?
Oh, you're showing your age there.
Exactly.
Mind you, you do remember every line and every scene from every movie. One word on your battery mate, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and his addition to Finland's roster for the Four Nations.
Yeah, Upi's been that's awesome. So happy for him. So proud of him. You know, he's a really good goaltender. You know, last year watching him a bit when I was in Detroit, you know, he looked like he was playing well, but I didn't see him a ton. And so I heard from comms in the summer because I work out with comms, and he said Upi's he's a really good goaltender. And so seeing him in camp and seeing him in games, he's got kind of the whole package. And so, as a city, as a team, we're very, very lucky to have a guy, of his caliber back there.
Yeah, awesome. No, he's big too. Most goalies, like when you came into the league, you were one of the bigger, right? Bigger goalies. 6'2", I thought when I came in at 6'2", I was like super tall. Then you're like 6'3" and a little over. And now those guys are so big and cover so much time, but are so athletic. Is that the one thing that impresses you, the athleticism of the big guys now?
Yeah, the athleticism and the way they can move. Like usually, to your point is, back in the day, the big guys, like, they couldn't move, any east-west pass, if they couldn't reach it, they were in trouble. Now it's like the big guys move like the small guys, and so it's like, what are you going to do, He's so big and he can move. It's impressive.
Don't
big guys.
The net bigger.
Yeah,
just keep him
the way
they are.
Yeah.
James, appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Kids Takeover submissions. Yes, we are inching ever closer to the January 11th Kids Takeover Day here. Sabres taking on the Kraken. So we're encouraging parents to submit video nominations for your young Sabres fans who would like to be a part of the game day experience in roles such as junior reporters, junior PA announcers, and more. Visit sabres.com/takeover to submit your nominations today.
Somebody's listening.
Oh, yeah?
Bleached Aho over there on social media on X says, regarding the Carolina disallowed goal, what bugs me is that the Cord initiated the contact outside the crease. That space is number 50 as much as number 35. What is stopping a goaltender to come out, make contact, flop, knowing a subsequent goal won't count? And he goes, a former goalie. So it comes from a former goalie, but I think most people would agree, even a former goalie, understanding what the goalie's doing in that situation.
Yeah, it was probably the only negative moment in former Sabre Eric Robinson's season for the Hurricanes, because he was the net front drive there, and he had already scored in the game, and between him and Roslovic, like, I don't think there's a team that has had two, at minimum, more unheralded off-season moves that have paid off to the level that they've paid off for Carolina so far. Now, Carolina ended up losing that game to Seattle after that turning point moment. But, yes, anyway, enough. Nice to have James on, and nice to look ahead to tonight. As far as Buffalo and Winnipeg are concerned, it's the Sabres, losers of four straight, 0-3-1. Jets, losers of four straight. And they've dropped five of the last six overall.
Yeah.
Now, this is the beauty of a 15-1 start, is you're still looking at Winnipeg with an 18-8 record, which is fourth overall, only 2 points from the top. And most of their numbers are still very close to where they were when they were on that incredible 16-game run, which is to say top five offensively, top four defensively, and special teams. I mean, they trail only, even though they're in a little drought right now, they trail only the Devils as far as power play percentage. They're at almost 31% on the power play right now.
Yeah, no, and listen, I was talking to Kevin Sawyer, who does their color analyst with TSN for the Jets, and I said, the offense is dried up, right? For Winnipeg, they lose 3-1, 4-1, an empty net, 3-1. They scoring one goal is not going to get it, work, and we know that. You got to get to 3-4, and, you got to play well. He said, look, they went on a road trip where they had three games on the road, and then they came home for one, and then went on the road for five more. It feels like it took all the energy out of them. It slowed them down.
Yep.
It really tired them. They were 4-5 after going 15-1 in those 9 games. They went 4-5, and now they're cutting a rut. They're cutting.
This happens to basically every team that has.
It does. Larry Ruff mentioned it today. Yeah. He goes, "We look at practice. We look at why didn't we have energy in the third period of that game? What? How do we affect like hockey science, sports science? But really, sometimes it's as simple as you played 8 of 9 games on the road, having to go from New York, Tampa, Florida, all the way back to Winnipeg, just to go back against Pittsburgh, Nashville, Minnesota, LA, Vegas. Like, that's a road trip right there.
It is. Sabres are not anywhere near
and Dallas. I forgot Dallas. So that's 4-6-10, actually. Sorry.
Strange one for Dallas last night. They had the 2-0 lead against the Kings, and LA just used, well, to tie in with what we were talking about in Carolina and off-season acquisitions, it was finally, and not that you expect this every night, but it was a big impact game from Tanner Janot and from Warren Fogle. Like, those two were the biggest reasons why they were able to come back and beat Dallas in regulation 3-2 last night. It was actually quite impressive to watch, and you could see almost, you know, through their reactions, like, they know what they're capable of, but it just hasn't clicked. The beauty for LA is they've had, and boy, David Rittich was really good again, too.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a number. You'll believe it, obviously, because, you know, I'm not going to lie, Marty.
Not going to lie. I'll be honest with you.
But last night was the 11th time that Rittich has allowed 2 or fewer this year. That puts him in, like, the top 4 of NHL netminders. That's pretty impressive based on what we saw night one for the Kings and the fact that they were, you know, leaning on Darcy Kemper for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, we're going to talk to
Darren Dreger
coming up. And yesterday I was doing a lot of work when it came to the Four Nations face-off roster being unveiled and everything. And I was looking at Logan Thompson. I'm like, I can't believe Logan Thompson didn't make Team Canada with the 10-1-2 start of the season. No Capitals did. You're absolutely right.
So the Capitals will benefit the most. Come late February, the Capitals will be best positioned to continue their outstanding season because none of them will be worn out by the Four Nations face-off.
Yeah, and the Russian machine that is Ovechkin has started skating again after, you know, a broken bone in his, but it's not the tibia, it was the fibula, so it's the smallest one. But anyway, but I look at John Carlson, no Tom Wilson, no Logan Thompson. And Logan Thompson has given up 8 times in 13 starts, 2 goals or less. Mm-hmm. Like David Rittich, 11. I was impressed with 8.
Yeah.
David Rittich, 11. Like, that's absolutely impressive. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, you know, the teams were announced, and we talked, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was named, and Rasmus Dahlin was named, which we kind of figured those two were going to be named. No Tage Thompson. That was unfortunate. I feel like the injury to Tage slowed his momentum down a little bit. He was tied for first in goals in the NHL when he got hurt against the Montreal Canadiens. And in the next 5 games that he missed, that 11 went to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're like, you're 5 goals away from that? Like, it just doesn't have that same punch, right? And I think that for him, Joki Aryu, I thought, he has a good chance to be on Team Finland. Well, they decide to go with Hakanpää, who just returned to the lineup a little bigger. So unfortunately for Henry, he didn't make it. But yeah, so there was some you know, peculiar choices. Mark Scheifele for Winnipeg didn't make Team Canada. I was surprised about that. So there was some weird decisions.
Yeah, I'm sure Darren Dreger may want to elaborate on some of that as we roll on. We are seeing the Sabres hosting the Jets tonight here at KeyBank. Hope you're able to make your way down despite some of the weather challenges. Hopefully things stabilize and clear up a little bit. By the time game time rolls around, we may well see Tyson Kozak in his first NHL game tonight for the Sabres. Darren Dreger from TSN next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Jets tonight. Four Nations tournament happens in February, and both clubs who are squaring off tonight, undoubtedly, Darren Dreger from TSN, have players who are disappointed that they didn't make it. Tage Thompson for Team USA and Mark Scheifele for the Jets.
Yeah, that's fair. And you know what? I would submit Adam Lowry as another possibility from the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, it's all based on how you want to design or construct your roster. And both Canada and the United States would have played off of each other, not communicated with each other. But you look at Team USA and how loaded that lineup is, forwards, defense, the goaltending is top level. So I think from a Canadian perspective, even though they wouldn't acknowledge this, they're thinking about, okay, well, automatically we've got to find, you know, competitive balance. You know, who's going to match up what we might see in Matthew and Brady Tkachuk? And, you know, then you look at the goal scorers. Duffer, you mentioned Tage Thompson, submit Cole Caulfield from the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, I think what Billy Guerin, the management group of Team USA, looked at was, okay, again, you know, we're looking at Canada, what they're going to throw our way. You know, Vinny Trocheck is an aggressive piece. You know, maybe he's more complete. Maybe there's more versatility in what Vinny Trocheck can do at this point of his game as opposed to what Tage Thompson can provide or Cole Caulfield. But what I know management, you know, reminded both those young guys of is don't get discouraged. You know, of course you were deep into the conversation. Now we're looking ahead beyond the Four Nations and we're looking at what our Olympic roster might be. And maybe at that point, you're more polished collectively in all aspects of your competitive game and you're a lock. We're not even having this conversation or questioning whether or not you should be available to Team USA. So I think the management of Team USA and Canada, for that matter, probably all four clubs, in delivering the message to those who are right on the cut line on the outside looking in, said, just, you know, you were deep into the mix, but not quite there based on what we need and what we think we're going to have to go up against in the other three countries.
Now, Canada, U.S. are the better two teams, the best two teams, I think, at roster-wise. But Team Sweden has a lot of really good players. They only have 69 skaters in the NHL, and they put a 20.
How many's Finland got? I like Finland their roster has, just as well.
Has, 37. How about that? Finland has 37 skaters from. That's tough. That's not easy. But I look at Sweden and I look at their offensive power, right? The amount of players that can score, even from the back end, right? The Hedman and the Dahlin and all of that. Like, is Sweden overlooked in this competition? Yeah. You look at the odds. They're a plus 500, I think, to win the tournament, where Canada and the U.S. are much more like closer to even money. Is Sweden a sneaky good pick if you want a bit of a long shot?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking and I'm assuming you haven't assembled these as lines. I mean, we're just putting a forward group. You're putting, you know, your 7D and then your three goalies. But I see Arvidsson and Nyquist's name jump off the page as we're looking at this. And those were depth guys that were brought in. And then you see William Nylander, who on this page alone would be considered the 13th forward. We know that's not going to be the case. But again, look at the group collectively. And when I think of the goaltending, you know, much has been made of Team USA, rightfully so, with Hellebuck and Jake Oettinger and Jeremy Swayman. But the goaltending for Team Sweden is right up there, right? Like, Jacob Markstrom for the Devils has been absolutely lights out good. Linus Allmark, all right, there's some work that he needs to get done to get more consistent and up to his standard in Ottawa. And then you've got Minnesota's Philip Gustafsson, who has been, maybe not for you guys, but somewhat under the radar by NHL standards when you look at the quality level of goaltending. So, hey, you can't overlook Sweden, and it would be a mistake to overlook Finland. In every international event, you know what you're getting from the Finns. That's why the nickname internationally is always the pesky Finns, because they're going to try and outwork you in every aspect of the game. And when I think of the top line for Finland as an example, and you've got Aho, you've got Barkov, and you've got Mikko Rantanen from the Colorado Avalanche coming at you from the Finns' top line. I mean, all four of these countries obviously have a good chance to win. We spend more time focused on the North American teams in Canada and the United States. And on paper, for me, even though as we look at Team Finland, I see a lot of assets here. and a lot of players that could surprise and disappoint if you are Canada, the United States, maybe even Sweden going in a game against Finland, maybe a little bit overconfident. But on paper, I look at Team USA as the best team. But that's the reason that these things don't play out on paper. I'm sure Canada's sitting there going, oh, no, we think we're pretty good, despite what guys want to knock holes in our goaltending. And the Swedes and the Finns are probably looking at Team USA and the other three teams with the same sort of thinking.
With the Sabres roster, and right now in the midst of a four-game losing streak, they take on the Jets tonight, who have also lost four in a row and five of their last six. What do you think the – and obviously the Sabres are now dealing with a Dahlin injury with back spasms. Are you hearing anything as far as, you know, what they may be looking to do or standing more patient with their young players? Like, how what are you hearing about Buffalo at this moment?
Well, that they're willing to stay patient. And again, I think that's a credit to the approach of Kevin Adams. You know, as we've talked about on this segment before, not that long ago, we discussed the idea of Adams positioning for something big. Well, he's still open to that idea, but he also acknowledged, at least in the exchange with me, that he likes his team. And then all of a sudden the group started to come together and they started winning hockey games and coming together as a group. And so I think that that gave management at least a hint to pause. All right, let's just see how this group continues to develop and get closer together. So here we are again now in a dip. And I'm sure Adams is doing what most general managers are doing and what he continues to do. And that's listening to the interest that there is in certain players, the interest that he has in certain players that may or may not be available. It's always easy for guys like me to speculate on what becomes the obvious. And that's the players that we know in play. And one of those guys just got traded, of course, from Columbus to Minnesota, and that's David Juracek. We know the New York Rangers are, in some ways, a bit of a tire fire. So we're going to continue to circle around the names that have been percolated in social media and mainstream media and all of that. But that's not what Kevin Adams and other general managers are focused on. Of course, they have conversations about those guys, but they're looking at some of the other stuff as well.
Dregs, from your experience, the Sabres have had three-game winning streak and now have had three games or more losing streak. They lost the first three. They had three in the middle. Now they're lost four in a row. Are GMs more active when the losing happens, or are they more active when the winning happens and nobody wants to talk about him? Because nobody was really talking about Kevin Adams when the Sabres win four out of five, right? And nobody's talking to him.
Yeah.
But are they sneaking like the phone calls in when nobody's talking about him?
A little bit of both. But look, again, I'm going to qualify by saying that most general managers remain fairly active. But you know, we had Billy Guerin on the Rain Dregs podcast, which just dropped minutes ago, and he reminded me of something that I think he learned from Jimmy Rutherford during his days in Pittsburgh. And that's, you know, if you go into a hockey trade where your sole focus is to win that trade, then you're not going to be very active, and you're probably not going to address the needs of your team. What you should do, at least his experience and, you know, kind of his motto is, I want to make a trade that's fair for both teams. I don't want to feel like I just beat my fellow general manager over the head. Sometimes that happens as you get into the true buyers and the sellers when you get closer to the trade deadline. But normally the trades that are more meaningful are the trades that work best for both clubs, right? And he feels that that was what happened between Columbus and Minnesota in the Juracek trade. So I think that the teams that we're talking about here that are more active are the teams that are stuck in that glut. And still, there's a big number of teams that are in the mix, right? They might be below the wild card playoff line right now, but they're 3 to 5 points out. You know, they're not 8 to 12 points out. And when you start getting into the double digits of being out, even though there's still a tremendous amount of hockey remaining in the regular season, Marty, I think that's when you get more twitchy. And that's why I look at a team like Nashville. And Barry Trotz continues to say, look, I'm going to give it until Christmas. Well, Christmas isn't that far away. And then what are we talking about here now when we're talking about Nashville? Are we talking about bigger pieces? And what did those pieces look like? But I think that that's what you're kind of looking at, Marty, when you talk about teams dealing through necessity or because of where they're positioned in the standings. And because of the teams being in that 3 to 5 point range who are still in the glut of it, I think that there's more conversation, but more talk than action at this stage.
I don't think Nashville can wait till Christmas. Do you?
Well, but I don't think it's about salvaging this year, Duffer. I think it's more of waiting till Christmas, maybe to determine how deep that knife should cut. Yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz can't go into a rebuild here. How do you do that when you've got Stamkos and Marceau and guys like Ryan O'Reilly and some of the other pieces that they have, right? But, you know, are you going to bring other pieces in that maybe make you better, more competitive for the rest of this year, but are jump-starting what would be, you know, a retool or transition, throw whatever adjective you'll want. But I guess to your point, if Trotz believes that this season can be salvaged in some way, shape, or form, then you're right. They can't wait until Christmas. But I think his point was, by waiting till Christmas, if we haven't pulled ourselves out of this funk, and evidently based on how they lost in the third period to Toronto last night, they haven't, then I think that knife cuts a little deeper in the new year.
Well, maybe to your point about Bill Guerin, like the Nashville Predators have 10 draft picks in this year's draft, 3 first-rounder, 2 second-rounders. Yep. Like maybe you're not trying to win a trade now. You're just trying to say, maybe we got to fix some of the issues that we have right now. But one issue that I think is a big problem in Nashville is Andrew Brunette the guy? Like, are they going to... You mentioned, like, maybe they can't salvage this season. So do you just ride him out for the rest of the year and do an off-season coaching change? Or do you have to do that in-season and try to get maybe a better second half for your group?
Well, I guess, but I'll throw this at you then. Like, who's better? Who's better out there who's available? I mean, is it Todd McClellan? Is it Jay Woodcroft? I mean, both those guys have been interviewed multiple times for a variety of jobs, you know, leading into the season. And I'm not saying that they're qualified, highly qualified. Of course they are. But it feels like, at least at this point, and maybe it was that dreaded vote of confidence, but Barry Trotz just recently came out and gave Andrew Brunette the vote of confidence. So normally when that happens, then the next step is, okay, well, I'm going to have to fire my coach. There's been some speculation that maybe Trotz would go back onto the bench. And I think that there are some family reasons that he doesn't want to have to do that. You know, just the flexibility of being the general manager, being allowed to be more mobile for family reasons is very, very important to him. But that vote of confidence always gets our attention. But I always try and defend coaches, and not because I have anything personal related to Andrew Brunette. I would just say, who's better? Maybe in the off season, but who's better right now?
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider from TSN. Thank you so much, Dregs. We're going to reset here for the final time and get you set for Sabres and Jets tonight. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres-Jets tonight. Ryan Johnson's been called up from Rochester. Not expected to be in the group of six on the blue line, but Tyson Kozak, who had a terrific start with the Amerks this year, might well see his first NHL game tonight. Last night, it was really impressive to see Riley Fiedler-Schultz taking advantage of top-line ice time. He and Konsta Hellenius and Brett Murray all had multi-point games. You know, for Fiedler-Schultz, who's only 22, undrafted, and spent most of last year in Jacksonville, this has been a waiting game for him to get up into the lineup with Rochester, and with the absence of some of their top players right now who are with Buffalo, a big opportunity. And all in front of Devon Levi last night. Brett Murray's seventh of the year was his first even strength tally as they ended up beating Utica 3-2. So good for them.
Nice little tap pass by Consolanius on that one there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's impressed me, and I think when we looked at the Sabres talking about Consolanius before drafting him, a true center with great playmaking mm-hmm. vision from the middle of the ice. We saw that a little bit throughout development camp and rookie showcase, but we're seeing it a lot in Rochester lately.
What do you want to see tonight?
What I want to see tonight, I want to see a Sabres team that is going to stay on their path, right? Their success in LA and against Anaheim and San Jose was they didn't just change. They stayed on the path to success. And against Colorado, it changed. And when they've had a hard time this year, it's changed. So stay with the structure and the plan. And even if you have to wait for the last 5 minutes of the game, that's where you're going to have to wait.
No surprise to see Eric Comrie with a big smile by seconds ago. We always loved having him around here. He'll back up Hellebuyck. It's Luukkonen for the Sabres. We'll see you tonight.